be seated. Let's move into our documentation this morning. Take your document. Everybody repeat after me the scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. For manifestation in time. Let's move quickly this morning. I'm going to try to finish this section. Page 37, turn to page 37. Everybody repeat after me. God's eternal plan and purpose concerning all things were actualized by His decree in eternity and manifested in the time capsule. Oh my God, hallelujah. We're going to get all of this straight, and then we're going to live our lives, and we're not going to be captivated by the events and the occurrences of time. We are not going to be dominated by the manifestations, because we have full confidence in God's decree. I think I'll repeat that. We're not going to be captivated and dominated by the happenings or the occurrences of manifestation, because we have full confidence in God's eternal decree. God's purpose is that which He has already accomplished. And so our focus and our hope will be fully invested in eternal intent. Everybody say eternal intent. Amen. So as God has prioritized eternity, so shall we prioritize eternity. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. I want everybody to turn this morning Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, and we're going to exegete that fully this morning. We shall also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7, and also Titus chapter 1 verse 2, and we shall corroborate, as Brother Peter, amen, states, according to the knowledge that he had received after hanging out with Paul for a while. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 in corroboration. Here let's focus on the last paragraph of verse, that is of page 37. See where it says God's statements of commands and directives. And this is what we must come to understand and fully internalize in our hearts, in our mind, that what is decreed controls that which is manifested. Now, if we don't have confidence in what God has decreed, yeah, we're in trouble. We're in big time trouble. We're shaky about believing God, then yes, we're in trouble. Amen. On the other hand, if we can fully rest in the essence of God's plan and purpose that is already realized in the decree, can have peace and joy regardless of what is being manifested and what's coming down. Now, the terrain of time is infested with many things. There are problems, there are troubles. There are things that seemingly go against us. Things that seemingly challenge us, or challenge our security and our safety. But I say to you this morning, regardless of that, and more importantly, the word conveys to us that we are indeed safe and secure from all along. No matter what happens. This week, I think there were three major incidents of someone seemingly going berserk and indiscriminately shooting and killing people in these times. And we say, well, it doesn't make sense, and in time, in manifestation on this side, it does not. But in the eternal essence of God's eternal purpose, for the intent of manifesting the sinfulness and the awfulness of the depravity, amen. And for a testimony that out of all of this chaos, God has eternal order. Out of the chaos of time comes the tranquility of eternity. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And so we must understand this. And so we don't really gauge life by the essence of those things that are going on around us. Oh my God, but from the hope that which is written. Now, in that last verse, paragraph, God's statements of commands and directives are generally conveyed as documentation for manifestation purposes, while His eternal purposes, and I always use the term purposes because we use that in relationship with man, a manifestation. It looks like it's just God has many purposes. There's in eternity that would be singular. God's purpose, God's decree is one. But here, as we speak in relationship to manifestation, we can say why His eternal purposes are particularly enacted by their perception of having been actualized in His decree. So whatever's coming down the pike, it is as the result of His plan. My God, how can you say that? You know, man walks into a building, and first before he walks into the building, he takes his vehicle and he blocks the back entrance so nobody can get out. Then he goes in there with the purpose of killing everyone. Well, he did kill quite a few people, but he didn't get everyone, did he? So, what's the difference between those that exited the earth through His deed and those that didn't? Decree? 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 And so, well, how can you say God has anything to do with that? Well, man is depraved, and if God didn't check us, we'd all kill each other. Ooh, preacher, what are you saying? No, no. The only reason that we have any semblance of a civilized society is because God is busy. He checks the majority of the depravity. But then the internal intent is to touch justify that there is depravity. In the present time capsule, which is there for testifying and manifesting the essence of the depraved human nature for testimony. And so, while he could check it, he doesn't check it because it's not his purpose to check it. Not all of it. But even though he checks most of it. Now, we must understand this in having confidence that God is in complete control of all things. Otherwise, we all stand in jeopardy. But we don't stand in jeopardy. You're in salvation, as we shall look at a few things this morning. You were never in jeopardy. You were never in jeopardy. Amen. You were lost and saved in one decree. Oh my God, huh? You were placed in peril and delivered in the same decree. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Now there are a plethora of scripture conveyances and testimony to the perception of actualization following God's decree. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it states that God commands all men everywhere to repent. So, well, didn't that put it in the hands of men? But he has only decreed salvation to some. For example, Acts chapter 11, verse 18, quoting, "Then indeed also to the nations did God give the reformation to life." Amen. Now, in this must be viewed humankind's inability, apart from God's grace, to repent. As man's fault, but only in manifestation of what was previously determined. All men will not come to him. We shall see that, amen, before we conclude today. So it is not God's purpose that all men or all humankind saved. He saved some. He saved those who are his, those he determined to be his. He saved his elect. Now, there were some who would frown upon this. Hence, it is necessary to state God cannot be blamed as men place blame for man's depravity, as it is God's purpose rather than his command that guarantees that everything will be manifestly accomplished according to his counsel and decree. I think last week we dealt with the fact those in the 9th chapter of Romans, amen, who would raise the issue of God saving some and not saving others, and the fairness of the equity of the justice of it. And of course, that would ring true for you or I, and you or me, and if we were discriminating indiscriminately, amen. But here we're talking about God. He is the creator. Amen. Oh my God, and he's sovereign. And he does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, to who he wants. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And he's just in it because he is the creator. And the clay cannot say to the potter, "Why did you do this?" Now note, we have the Greek word here, prothesis that is used several times. It's used in Acts chapter 11, verse 23. We don't have time this morning to go through these. Acts chapter 23, verse 13, and 2 Timothy 3 and 10. He's speaking in reference to men. There are five references to God's eternal purpose in the salvation of his elect. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which a few outings ago we were in there speaking of God's eternal work and purpose. Last week we went to chapter 9 of Romans. In Ephesians 1 and 11, where in the scenery is the eternal plane of God having accomplished all things in our behalf. In Ephesians chapter 3, amen, wherein, oh my God, Paul lays out the essence of the message as he begins that chapter speaking about the revelation of the mystery of that which he had received for the dispensation of grace. Now, some of the men of God's people, two men of God's people never encountered that word dispensation. And might be set out to the shame of the ministry. Amen. Many ministries, they have just glossed over that word. Amen. And glossed over a glorious message and a glorious truth and a glorious inheritance and of a glorious work in eternity, in eternality. Amen. In the essence of Christ and what he has done and what he has purposed and what he has brought to pass. Now when we look at this word purpose, prothesis, here it is a compound Greek word made up. We have the preposition pro, which means what? Before. And we have the verb tithemi, which is tithemi. I should say the accent is on the second syllable. So tithemi is the notes to place a purpose. Now many times when we think of purpose, we think of what we have and set as a goal. In relationship to God, it is not a goal. In relationship to God, it is that which he has proudly placed the previous placement. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. So what God has previously placed, previously put in place, oh my God, previously established, that, amen, is more than a goal, that is a fact, my friend. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Here Paul writes to his beloved son in the ministry, Timothy. And basically, he conveys to him the essence of eternality. First of all, in verse 1, speaks of the fact that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ to the will of God by way of the promise of life in Christ Jesus. That it is the decree of God that has made him an apostle. And then in the salutation in verse 2, conveys to Timothy, dearly beloved son, and he says, mercy, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Many of the times we see Paul using that salutation, and he says grace and peace. Here, amen, he inserts also mercy. Follow me now. And then he identifies the source. All of the grace, all of the mercy, all of the peace is source. Oh my God, from God the Father, even Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In verse 3, he gives thanks to God. Amen. Here, he basically conveys essence of him having been placed in the body of Christ, in essence, and the reason for his worship and service. And that which has placed him into this position, and you see this word here is translated clean conscience. That's the same, amen, term that we were conveying, that is conveyed, amen, in the Friday night Bible class as Paul was speaking to Timothy concerning the qualifications of those serving in the ministry. Amen. That they must acknowledge and accept, amen, the mystery of the faith in a clean conscience. Amen. You can tie that verse 9 there, which we won't get to today. Amen. We were dealing with that passage, and then mostly run in there, and they pick up the personal qualifications of a bishop and a deacon. Amen. Paul didn't bother to speak about the overseer because he appointed the overseer, and he wasn't about to send anyone in there, amen, who didn't have this mystery straight. Amen. All right, that's just a little sidebar there, amen. But he conveys that, amen, and in verse 4 and 5, amen, he speaks of that which Timothy's background concerning, amen, and he basically speak to that which he had learned first through his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, amen, which he says for him to stir up the love of God. But then he goes forth to convey, follow me here now, the essence of what this message that God had revealed to him, the benefits of knowing and understanding the particulars of the grace covenant. There are great benefits in the grace covenant. Oh my God. One of them is understanding the essence of the source of grace, mercy. Oh my God. And its resulting peace. Elder, start reading from verse 7. Amen. I just wish, amen. But I know that y'all are not going for it. Amen. Amen. We got an hour and we have to bail out. Amen. Oh my God. Verse 7, 8, and 9. Everybody got, everyone has 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Say amen. All right.
2 Timothy chapter
2 Timothy chapter
1 verse 7, 8, and 9.
All right. Everybody got it? Say amen. All right. Read.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear,
mm-hmm.
but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Now, you got to understand, as Paul leads into this, he's making a case for the message of the mystery that was revealed unto him. A message that goes beyond the contents and the covenant of the law, of which Timothy could have been a recipient of, benefits that go beyond the essence of the new covenant, of which Timothy also would have been eligible to be a candidate of. Amen. Here, as Paul explains to the Ephesians in another epistle, here we have something that is better. Everybody say better. A better contract. A better message. Oh my God. Woo, about to get happy here this morning. That which places us into total safety and security. Follow me here now. For God has not given us the spirit of fear and the power of love and the sound mind, and we really get into the essence of that when we exegete. But keep reading. Finish verse 8 and 9 in the King James.
Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner,
mm-hmm.
but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
Oh, I wish I had time this morning. Oh my God. To really understand what he is saying, what he is trying to convey to God's servant Timothy. And this becomes a task and yes, even a burden for those of us, amen, God has called and placed into the ministry as overseers and ministers, that is to convey the essence of our contract and its benefits to the point that those that are under it will read it and embrace it. And then, of course, what helps in this, as we were conveying to you not long ago, as Paul, amen, that verse that we were dealing with not too long ago, that it is God who determines who gets what. Amen. Huh? I've said to you all the time, if you understand something, don't say thank you, Pastor. Don't say thank you, minister. Who is the teacher? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You know, 10 people could be there, 3 get it, and 7, it's like, that preacher's crazy. Amen. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Amen. So the essence of this thing, as he says, don't be ashamed of me or the things that I'm going through. Amen. For the testimony. Oh, my God. For the testimony. For the thing that Paul went through and God took him through and caused him to. We get the benefit. We got a glorious contract here. One that's irrevocable.
That's right.
You know, some of you all, the UAW contract, you thought you had something that was irrevocable.
No.
Huh?
No.
Some of you had these state contracts with the unions and teachers, and so you thought you had irrevocable contracts, didn't you? Man, you know, they go back and they say, well, you go back and you're going to do some concessions. This contract, there's no such thing as concessions in this contract.
Oh, God.
My God. There are no conditions. Huh? Oh, my God. What it says, it means. And not only what it says, will it do. What it says, it has already done. Amen. All right. Oh, my God. Keep reading. Verse 9, yeah, finish that up, and then we're going to go to the Greek.
Verse 9,
mm-hmm.
Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own work, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Now that's outstanding, even that translation, huh? But we exegete and we go into and we begin to stretch, oh my God, and eviscerate these nuggets as we dig them out. Amen. Oh my God, we see the glorious workings of God in eternity as we internalize them. Our hearts just overflow with joy. And now we can say, joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Glory.
Oh my God. All right, now. Let's go into the Greek interlinear. Who has a Greek interlinear, I'm going to be reading from verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7, 8, and 9. For context sake here, as to what Paul is actually, you know, conveying. Now, if you don't have the Greek interlinear, I hope at some point everyone does here in this ministry, follow along in your translation. All right, Elder, go very slowly. Even though I've got a time constraint, there's some things you just can't rush through. Amen. Huh? The nuggets are so golden, you got to dig them out one at a time. All right, read.
First, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Not for gave to us God
mm-hmm.
a spirit of cowardness.
A cowardness. You can take that word there, root there, the essence of it is theleos. Delete us. We don't have to cower. You know, we're so afraid of what's going to happen. Some of us daily live in fear. I was listening to the news. They said people are more afraid now than they've ever been. And of course, our message this morning is don't relax. Relax. Well, you know, this happened, that happened, so forth and so on. Man, you don't know. You go into a place today, you don't know when somebody might barge in the door and shoot it up. No, you don't. But basically, you we're not going to stop going anywhere. You know, two planes fell out the sky in a matter of days. You say, well, I don't think I'd be flying for a while. Please. Someone asked me, are you going to fly? I say, if I need to go somewhere. Huh? The only thing that can manifest is what has been decreed. If that thing goes down, it's because it is part of God's plan and purpose. The opposite of that is to say that, you know, something went down and God was just as surprised as you were. Isn't that crazy? Is that crazy? Is that crazy? Huh? Everybody said purpose. Which means to previously place. To previously place. Now, that as it relates to God, which has been previously placed. So we're not gonna cow. You're not nervous. Don't be nervous. What you nervous about? Well, you know, that's them. You know, they may come and may have me, may lose. They cut it down, lose job, lose your money, you know, lose your house, and so forth. Something. You don't get it, do you? You're gonna lose that anyway. So, well, now you said oh shit, care. No. You understand what we're saying? Remember. God's will is what? Nothing what? Nothing more. Nothing less. Nothing else than what he has decreed. think that his will is not already done. Now, you might not like the way you're faring in that. But remember, it's not about us. It's about him. And it's not about time or what's happening in time. Everybody say eternal intent. So we have to look beyond the things that are wrong. This is, see, you don't get this message outside of our country. Don't get this message. Read.
Not a spirit of Calvinist, but of power.
But of power.
And of love.
And of love.
And of self-control.
No, that's bad translation. Every time you ever see something says self, that's a bad translation. I wonder why we say, why are you doing all of that great? Because we're not going to be led down the Primrose Path. Greek word sophronismon is not self-control. But that which is based on that which is sound. Of that which is stable. Of that which is endowed. Of that which is immutable, unchangeable, irrevocable. Oh my God, y'all don't need me this morning. Now, that's not something you're going to see around you. Listen to me this morning. Have no confidence in the things that are around you. Institutions. And traditional things that we have depended upon. Basically, if you can physically touch it, taste it, see it, it's not sound. It's not stable. Listen to me this morning. Paul writes to Corinthians. He tells the difference between that which is spiritual and that which is physical. What does he say about those things that are physical? Temporary. Come on, y'all. The things that are seen. The things that are seen. Temporary. Our contract is done, but we're not reading it. And if we're reading it, we're not internalizing it. If you can see it, that thing is not stable. Because it's temporary. Temporary means what? Not long. Y'all better hear me this morning. On the other hand, the thing that is unseen, what is it? Eternal. It's eternal. It's eternal. It's everlasting. So the thing that is physical, which is seen, you can't count on. The thing that is spiritual, that is unseen, you can rest in. So the things that are controlled and the things that are sound. So here, soundly controlled would be better, not self-controlled. Oh my God. Why are they soundly controlled? Because they're decreed. Amen. Now,
verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord.
Now, from the Greek. In the Greek now.
Not therefore be thou ashamed.
Uh-huh.
The testimony of the Lord.
The testimony
of the Lord of us.
Belongs to the Lord. The testimony is the Lord's testimony. You're going through some stuff. You're complaining. But this is God's testimony. Some of us get a little upset with God. Oh no, we're not going to come right out. We don't have that kind of nerve. But subconsciously, you're going through something. And you're a little upset about it. You don't know who to be upset at, because you don't have nerve enough to be. I don't think you have nerve enough to be upset. Amen. And we use terms like, it's not fair. Can you imagine Paul saying, you know, you delivered those Hebrew boys. It's not fair. Well, I've got to go to Nero's chopping block. Huh? You talk like that. What did Paul say? Paul said, I finished my course. Oh my God, huh? I fought the good fight. Everybody said God's testimony. This thing is not about us. You're complaining, and all you're doing is you're functioning in God's testimony. All right? Read.
Of the testimony of the Lord, mm-hmm. of us, nor of me, the prisoner of him,
mm-hmm.
but suffer ill with the gospel according to the power of God.
Now this is what most of the ministries, especially those ministering in the Mega Ministry, they don't get this. You know what goes along with ministering in this ministry? Suffering. Of course, what they're trying to do is to give you, amen, prescriptions and panaceas to avoid suffering. 5 ways how to... Oh my God, isn't that crazy? 10 ways to do something. To avoid something. Huh? You know, and this is why right in the middle of this recession, it's not the depression. it's depressing to the person that lost the job. In the midst of this economic climate, that prosperity message is beginning to ring hollow. And so a certain renowned minister has come up with a new message. Amen. The gauge of truth is what?
Consistency.
You know, Paul said, I'm suffering stuff. Don't you look at the fact that, you know, I'm not the most popular preacher on the block. don't let that throw you. Of what I'm suffering. And Paul suffered. Huh? A night and a day in the deep. Pillars of waters. Being shipwrecked. Pillars of countrymen. Those are Paul's own kindred that went after him and tried to destroy him. Even to the point, amen, that they took him outside of Lystra and stoned him. But oh, every time, amen, there is something you go through, God gives you a special blessing when you're supposed to come up in the third heavens and the soul things. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God, hallelujah. Every time we go through something, God gives us a special blessing in going through it. Huh? Hallelujah. Oh my God, I remember one night, this was many years ago over there at the church. In fact, I had just come into the church. They used to have testimony meeting. We don't have that too much around here anymore, amen. But certain person I knew stood up and started thanking God for all of the troubles and problems and the trials and the testimonies that she was going through. And I said, I must be the wrong place. These people they like troubles and problems. No, but I come to realize. Huh? I come to realize. Amen. She knew what she was talking about, but I didn't know yet. But I can stand here this morning and say, I know, oh my God, and I know. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. The essence of life is Christ. And whatever goes along with that, bring it on. Oh my God, hallelujah. What that clock? Verse 9. And this is what tops it off. Oh my God, hallelujah. When you learn this, if you learn what's in verse 9, then you can bring that ingression right on down into life.
Verse 9. Of the heaven save us.
You see the difference there? You see the difference there? Now, I'm going to stop and some of you are going to go nuts, but we're going into the Greek. We have a verb participle sosaptos. What is a participle?
Verb adjective.
So here you're describing something, but it's also doing something. It is in the genitive case. It is in the aorist tense. Keep reading.
Of the heaven save us. And heaven called.
And heaven called. We have the participle kalisaptos. So we have sosatos and kalisaptos. They're both verbal adjectives. Are participles. They're both in the genitive case. They are both in the aorist tense. They are companion participles. Now, most of the translations starts off with the word who. Now, you notice here, those of you who have to your interlineals, he couldn't do that, could he? Why couldn't he do that? Because that's not what's there. This verse 9 starts off and it reads to so saptos imos ke kalisaptos. So he couldn't say who. Follow me closely. He couldn't say that, could he? No, he couldn't say that. Now, he's got the right idea, but if you're going to be a translator, you've got to call it like it is. And the Holy Spirit doesn't need our help. Translated, that reads, seeing that we have the genitives here and companion genitives, that would be of the heaven saved us and heaven called. Of the heaven saved and heaven called us. It's speaking of an act. The act is having saved and having called us. Keep reading.
of the having saved us and having called, calling with a holy.
Calling! See, not, the, whoa. Got with the holy. No. Here again, what you got to do is you got to look at the structure. The structure. Here, and you see he has that little asterisk there. Because he knows what? That when. Now what throws him there is that. That Greek word there, ethion, translated own, is an adjective in the feminine gender. But what messed him up and caused him to put his there, did he bracket that? Yeah. What started him off on the wrong track was starting off saying who? You see, that feminine gender there is because that adjective is augmenting the participle that's following it. So, the essence of that, it is on of the that is own of the own purpose and own grace. So, listen, follow me here now. The of the having saved and having called us with according with the own calling, with the own calling, with the own calling, with the own. In other words, that saving us and that calling us belongs to the own calling. Now we're ready to say where it's come from. Read.
Of the having saved us and having called us, calling with the holy, not according to the works of us.
Tell you where it's not coming from. The saving, the calling is holy, it's not coming from you. And then where did it come from? Read.
But according to purpose.
According to own purpose.
And grace.
And grace. Now, say you still haven't. Don't you have to put his there? No. It wasn't necessary because now we're going to go to the sphere of when it happened. And when you go to the sphere where it happened, it's going to be unnecessary for you to say he or his. Where did it come from? Where is the sphere? Read.
According to own purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh. When?
Before time's eternal.
Follow me here. And we'll wind up here today. I guess I won't get through here. We have again a verb. But participle, again, what is a participle? It's a verb adjective. What does an adjective do? It's describe, so we're describing, amen, and we're actually doing something in that description, amen. Here, that Greek word is the thesis, is translated given, but it is in the aorist tense. What's the aorist tense again? It's a completed action. It's in the passive voice. So the action that happened to us. Oh. So that takes us out of the picture, right? So we don't have to argue about what work did. Oh. All right, we could just understand the essence of this. It would just clear the table of the nominations.
Oh, amen. I hear you.
Now we're not fighting about how you get saved. Follow this. Was given, and now here's what caps it off. Where was it given? Read it again.
Given to us before time's eternal.
Given to us in Christ Jesus, in Christo Jesu. What?
Before time's eternal.
Crown, Elvium. I am with this morning. Oh my God, hallelujah. It was given to us in Christ Jesus, not by Christ Jesus. Salvation is in Christ Jesus. Your calling is in Christ Jesus. You go to the Father. Everything is not by Him, it is in Him. Everybody say, in Him. Now when?
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Before time's eternal.
Now here's but throw something. The Greek word chronon is a noun. It's genitive case. The Greek word aeonion is an adjective. What is a noun? Name of a person, place. Again, an adjective is what? That which describes. What's the relationship between an adjective and a noun? The adjective modifies the noun. Okay? Here we have two genitives. We have twin genitives. Chronon and aeonion. Time and eternity. And one belongs to the other. Here's our problem. We have placed time on an equal plane with eternity. But time is created in eternity. Eternity is the, oh my God, is the accommodated sphere of wherein God dwells. Time is what He created for manifestation purposes only. Follow me this morning. Let's go back to our document. Give me about 5 or 6 minutes. I know I'm just have to bail out. Oh my God, hallelujah. One of these days y'all gonna say, Pastor, you preach as long as necessary. Look at those looks. Now, this is the ingression. Look at the second paragraph there. Page 38. Full knew or his foreknowledge is him looking down in the time and seeing something. So we know better than that, right, huh? Because we just got through saying that everything was created what? In Him, in eternity. In Him, in eternity. Salvation, your salvation, your calling. Amen. So we're not into the foreknowledge business on that basis. Foreknowledge is basically that which is acknowledgement of the decree. Follow me here. Therefore, God foreknew in eternity through actualization. Are you with me this morning? God foreknew in eternity. How did He foreknow? Through actualization of His purpose in His decree. Exactly what is done and will definitely manifestly come to pass. I think I'll repeat that. God's foreknowledge. He foreknew in eternity, and His foreknowledge is to actualization of His purpose in His decree. Didn't we just get to read 2 Timothy 1 and 9? Huh? Didn't we just clear that up? Huh? And so what is done will manifest. It's got to manifest. And can nothing else manifest except what is done? That's why we learn how to pray around here. We're not down on our knees trying to persuade God that something shouldn't be done. Y'all don't hear me this morning. You're not going on a 40-day fast because we all want something to be done, or we want something to be done a certain way. When we pray, the Holy Spirit, and see, God has given us provision, the Holy Spirit comes in, and He just takes over. And what does He do? He knows the will of God, so He just aligns your communication with the will of God. But wouldn't it be nice for us to have the knowledge that we can participate in that by saying, Lord, your will what? Your will is done. Your will is done. I'm going to finish this paragraph and then I'm, oh my God. In the wilderness, some of y'all like that Old Testament stuff. So, the showbread was publicly displayed to remind Israel of the manna provided for them in the wilderness journey. And when you go back in the Old Testament, you're in Exodus and you see, amen, a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. That's not the way we relate to and follow God. You got to see something. Because in our contract, we have no confidence in the seen, right? But in the unseen. Here God manifestly displayed His eternal purpose in His word according to their covenant. Remember now, you're in Exodus. You're not going to get any more of this in that covenant at that time. Alright? So, He manifestly displayed His eternal purpose in His word to remind them that their salvation was no afterthought with Him. In this sense, our salvation was God's forethought. You see, the message to Him, to them was, your salvation is not an afterthought. The message to us is that your salvation is a forethought. Before you even came on the scene, you were saved. You were safe. You were secure. And you see, this is what we have to take down into life. Hence, God has displayed before us not only what He eternally purposed and actualized in eternity, but also His process of manifesting such in time. Hence, God's purpose is the same as His execution of what was purposed in His decree. Oh, we'll visit this next week. I know we did. Oh my God. God's purpose to create. Listen. We're in here today. God's purpose to create is the same as creation having been actualized by His decree. In addition, oh my God, and I love this part. His purpose in saving us, that is His elect, entail enactment of certain ones to salvation itself. Don't you love Him this morning? Huh? God didn't just start this thing. He completed this thing. He took, oh my God, y'all don't hear me this morning. God took care of business. He completed it. We're safe. And we're secure from all alarm. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Oh, on the ground is sacred sand. Why? Because it's not by Him, it is in Him. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.